Well, here's a little news about Texas by way of Russia. From RT.com, dozens of residents from a rural Texas community traveled to the state capital, Austin, on Tuesday to demand that regulators act immediately to ban hydraulic fracturing or fracking amidst allegations that it is to blame for a spate of recent earthquakes. The Azle, Texas area, located north of Fort Worth, birthplace of Teresa Mitchell, has experienced no fewer than 30 earthquakes since November, and residents say it's a result of increased fracking activity. Fracking, the process of injecting large quantities of a chemical cocktail into the earth to tap subterranean natural gas reserves, has long been associated with seismic activity, and researchers last year linked drill sites to a series of quakes in parts of Ohio. This is where I speak for myself and not from the RT.com text. A lot of you that follow the sort of news you're not supposed to know that decades ago, researchers in California found that they could turn earthquakes on and off by injecting large quantities of water into a fault. But returning to the RT.com article, some Azle, Texas area residents now say there's no doubt that recent tremors across town have been brought on by similar operations in the Lone Star State, and Tuesday they assembled before the Texas Railroad Commission to demand action. Around 50 residents had planned to attend Tuesday's hearing, but eyewitnesses at the event estimated that close to 100 fracking opponents came to complain. The commission, which regulates mineral energy production in the state of Texas, heard testimonies from no fewer than two dozen of those critics. No disrespect, but this isn't rocket science here. Now, that's from Reno Mayor Linda Stokes testifying during the hearing. Reno, Texas, I guess. Common sense tells you the wells are playing a big role in all this. End quote. At one point during the hearing, a man who identified himself as a retired rocket scientist said it doesn't take someone with his expertise to see that increased fracking activity is causing the quakes. Well, and I'd give you the latest on the super rich. In case you didn't pick up the New York Times Monday, they featured on the front page of the website, according to Chris Floyd writing in Counterpunch, a long piece of giddy gush about the latest trend in luxury hoteling, super suites for the super rich costing up to $28,000 a night. And this is done in Jim Hightower style, I noticed, so I just couldn't resist passing on part of it. Article, as I was saying, by Chris Floyd in Counterpunch. He writes, for more than 1,100 words, the Times gives us an uncritical, indeed adoring, panorama of the new high swankery expected by our owners as they perambulate around the global plantation. There's the $25,000 per night room in the New York Palace, a three-story penthouse Versailles, the Times, all a-tremble with excitement, tells us, which come complete with $1 million worth of designer jewelry on display to refresh the weary eyes of the traveling titan, or New York's Mandarin Oriental, a 3,300-square-foot room of even greater opulence, a steal, at $28,000 a night. This his article also quotes the Oxfam study, which you may have heard of over the last week, which showed that the richest 85, not 85 million, not 85,000, the richest 85 individuals on Earth have as much wealth as the poorest 3.5 billion people on the planet. 85 people control as much wealth as 3.5 billion. And he writes, this is not the natural fruit of the market's mythical invisible hand. It is the result of carefully crafted, deliberate policies put in place over the past 40 years by elected leaders who have been bought like chattel by the rich and have used the power of the state to skew the political, economic, and social structure of nation after nation towards the ever-increasing domination of an ever smaller circle of elites. This is Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know on KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Bernie Sanders reports that a watchdog report says that the NSA program of spying is illegal and should end. And he writes, an independent federal privacy watchdog, this is from Bernie Sanders' website, has concluded that National Security Agency's program to collect bulk phone call records has provided only minimal benefits in counterterrorism efforts, is illegal, and should be shut down. The findings are laid out in a 238-page report scheduled for release by Thursday today and obtained by the New York Times that represent the first major public statement by the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board, which Congress made an independent agency in 2007 and only recently became fully operational. This from Radio Havana, Cuba. Amnesty International says Washington's continued operation of the notorious detention camp at Guantanamo and the torture of detainees there is a prime example of U.S. double standard on human rights. Amnesty said, quote, every year that the USA has been operating the Guantanamo detention camp, It has continued to proclaim its commitment to international human rights standards. If any other country was responsible for the human rights vacuum of Guantanamo, it would surely draw the USA's condemnation. It's long past time for the U.S. authorities to end this double standard, end quote. Erica Guevara Rosas, director of Amnesty International's Americas program, said, quote, detainees at Guantanamo remain in limbo with their lives on hold for years on end. Many have suffered serious human rights violations, including enforced disappearance and torture, been blocked and accountability minimal, end quote. More than 150 detainees are still being held at Guantanamo. Most of them are held without charge or trial. The first detainees were taken to the illegally occupied Cuban territory 12 years ago after being captured during America's so-called War on Terror. And I'd like to add to Amnesty International and Radio Havana Cuba's report that it is also time to end, well, first to acknowledge and then to end the war of white supremacist terror, which is represented by the Jim Crow drug war. I could go into details, but I think surely we all know by now that the drug war is used as an excuse to attack black people. And it's perfectly obvious to the rest of the world. We haven't been able to hide it. It's time to end it. End the Jim Crow drug war. Because terrorism's wrong. Oh, and speaking of terrorism, I noticed, and I mentioned on the air, I think as early as late, as last October, that things were getting tenser at my workplace over my transgender status, and I was wondering what was driving it, because sometimes there is an organization behind it. For example, the wave of anti-gay terror in Uganda can be traced to one Scott Lively, who was kicked out of Oregon by the courts and activists. Thank you, activists. And in one in particular. And it turns out that there's a reason for this. And the main reason is an anti-gay, anti-trans fundamentalist Christian propaganda group and Fox News. Is that sentence redundant? Well, anyway, there was an article in the Toronto, Canada newspaper, which said that a man had come into the YMCA, a man, put that in quote, and the article claimed that the nude and, shall we say, aroused individual was allowed into the women's locker room at the YMCA because they merely asserted themselves to be trans. When Autumn Sandine wrote the author of the article, he said that he claimed no journalistic duty to fact-check any claim, saying it is, of course, not possible for me to substantiate most of the stories I'm told, and frankly, I don't try. My general policy is to deal with issues as they are presented, end quote. And transadvocate.com writes, to seemingly make the case that he wasn't entirely derelict in his journalistic duties, the author of the article claimed that he did at least check to make sure that the email address from which it came was valid. What the author Gallinger utterly failed to do was pick up the phone and simply call the YMCA to verify any aspect of the anonymous story. A valid yet anonymous internet account claimed to be an elderly woman who had been approached by a fully nude male-bodied individual who had been strutting around the women's locker room in the YMCA with a full, can I say this on the air? Arousal. A parent room complained or called the police. We are invited to accept the ridiculous narrative that this behavior is permissible because Toronto has a trans equality law. Since the author, Gallinger, wasn't willing to fact check any of these claims, the author writes, trans advocate author writes, I contacted every Toronto YMCA with a pool, and guess what? No complaint or even rumor of anything like this exists in the Toronto area YMCAs. Every Toronto area YMCA was shocked to learn that an unsubstantiated claim like that was propagated by the Toronto Star. Every Toronto area YMCA confirmed that nobody had made any complaint concerning anything even remotely similar to the claim made in the Toronto Star. And Trans Advocate writes, the claim is a hoax. We can add this fake incident to a growing list of other fake incidents reported in Maryland, in Washington, in California, in Colorado, and in Texas. And I looked at the links that were provided for some of those, and they are pretty similar. And this is coming from an anti-gay website anti-gay organization, anti-trans, or well, they're focused on transgender individuals, especially female to male, claiming to be Christian. And they have these stories. And the basis of the story is, oh, my God, proper people are victimized by these, you know, obviously rape-y individuals who claim to be transgender and who are using these silly, silly liberal laws that let transgender people get away with, or just anybody claim to be, you know, male to female, and then walk around the locker room aroused. Pretty nasty. And I would say that's probably why at my workplace I've noticed all this, nervousness, silence, hostility, you know, little incidents where I say, go into the women's room as I have for the last 12 years, and all of a sudden everyone leaves. What's going on? Well, Fox News is going on, and I'm sorry to say it, but my fellow, ironically, my fellow union bus drivers love to watch Fox News, which is just the silliest damn thing I've ever seen, and I've often said so, since Fox News is created by Roger Ailes, a billionaire, in order to turn the working class against itself. And one of the greatest ways to do that is to make people talk down unions. And it works so well that just Monday, I was standing around waiting for a bus to take me to the bus so I could drive the bus. And my fellow bus drivers start talking down unions. I said, your union. And apparently I was not heard. But that's how effective propaganda is. And I laugh, but it's sickening. It's sickening. And I would say the number of snitching incidents is also up. And the union, which is just pitiful right now. I mean, all unions are under attack right now, constantly, from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, from the billionaires who fund ALEC, of course. And people are just falling for it. It's the let's you and him fight strategy, and man, it works. I don't know where to start with that. This is Press Watch. I am Teresa Mitchell. I am transgender, male to female, and... number for you to call with your comments or questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I would like to ask you some questions, like, what do you think about the situation with the Fox News deciding to pick on transgender people? I think it's pretty cowardly. Bad because I am trans, and... but, you know, there's hardly any trans. I mean, it's really hard to launch a fight back. They're just not the numbers for trans equality advocates to mount an equal counter-propaganda campaign against Fox News. I mean, it's huge, it's powerful, and if they decide to pick on it as well, you know, people are buying these stories, hook, line, and sinker, and they are false. Every single one of them is false. The stories run on Fox News for months now about people being victimized by transgender are in just about every particular insert, absolutely false. 503-231-8187, and Lynn's on the air.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
So, thanks for bringing up, since I don't have watch TV, I didn't know about this from Fox News, but, you know, they and the website you identified are not the only people who are putting out this idea of equal access being some kind of an attack on people. It also comes from our friends, the radical feminists. Correct?
From very few radical feminists.
But a very organized and vocal group. I mean, yeah, obviously there are people who don't, but I think...
And not from radical feminists, as, you know, that name represents a certain group of people. So there are some...
Well, they claimed... That
old-style that Mary Daly Levin...
Kathleen McKinnon, still around.
Yeah.
Stuart Jeffries.
Sure. I mean, that happens. I mean, you have to admit, though, that by and large, the feminist movement is four square behind trans equality.
Oh, yeah, a movement. I'm just saying, I mean, by and large, I think most real Christians are, too. But, you know, it's something that just happens in any kind of politics is that you get a faction or a group of people who decides that, well, our way is the one true way, and, you know, which hilarity ensues.
Our way is the one true way. Yes, I'm not hearing you too well. You might want to adjust your phone to the cell tower or something.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. Maybe you'll also bring up the drive in California to revoke the good law they just put out for kids in school, for trans kids.
I could not quite hear the last part of your sentence. I'm sorry.
I said, could you say something about the California law allowing access by school children, and the drive, which I believe is just certified, to revoke that.
Oh, well, that's actually coming from the same group that I was mentioning. And they have a part of their campaign is a video that they put up on their website, which is being repeated in Sunday schools and various places and fundamentalist churches, that shows some women who are very upset, and they're talking these choking voices about this terrible thing. And when you get right down to it, what they're choking up about is the law and the fact that there is a transgendered kid somewhere who's actually being treated as her proper gender. And but just to listen to it, you'd think that they had, you know, their kids had been beaten or raped or something by a transgender. But no, they're victims because, you know, their right to impose their religion is being trampled on. Hey, thanks for bringing that up. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Marilyn's on the air.
Hi there, Teresa. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
I have recently discovered a fact that is very shocking to me, that Fox News co-owner, the second largest behind Rupert Murdoch, is Prince Al-Waleed bin Jalal, a Saudi prince. So we've got Saudi prince in charge of our Fox News.
Saudi prince, but I'll tell you from a journalist who recently wrote a book about it, and I don't have his name right now, Roger Ailes definitely runs the show, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Roger is a monster. He's just an utter monster and has been for decades. And I think deep down inside, you might have a talking point with your union friends that Fox is owned by an Australian zombie and a Saudi prince. And that they definitely do have influence on what gets on the news. And the GOP is basically your oil cartel and your energy cartel that went in and invaded Iraq and stole their oil. They're all about oil, all about the billionaires. They don't represent American people in any way, shape, or form. All they do is shovel out fear and hate and misinformation and disinformation. They don't work for us. They work against us.
Well, that's very true. And, you know, I wish I could... it's the atmosphere I'm describing is probably a minority. Most of them that I encounter in the workplace aren't aware and don't care. And but it only takes a few people to make a workplace feel hostile. And Fox News is being very effective with that. But, you know, for the people who are hostile, can't get there from here. You know, maybe if I could, suddenly.
Well, they're hate mongers.
If I.
Then hate mongers, they want Americans to hate other Americans for any reason. It doesn't matter. Just so you hate an American. That's their whole purpose.
Divide and conquer works pretty well for Fox News.
That's what they do.
Faux news.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. I've invited a discussion of the campaign by Fox News and by anti-trans, anti-gay, anti-lesbian fundamentalist Christians. Would like to know what you think about it. And Emma's on the air.
Hello. I am calling. I wish I could say I had something specific to add to this, but more that I just think that I want to add my voice to it. I have transitioned also, and it's been a very enlightening experience. One of the things I've noticed is that in Portland, we live in this strange little environment that seems oblivious to the larger hostility out there towards trans people. And the other thing being is there's just I'm always amazed. I work in a mental health care environment, addictions actually for me. And there are people who want to be supportive but are just amazingly uninformed, shall we say, on this. And so, I mean, that's part of the battle on this level. When you get up to the national level of Fox News, then, of course, it's a whole new approach, and we can only do these small things.
Sure, and I think you're right, and I think the economy contributes to this because people are upset. They're feeling insecure. They're not feeling too great about themselves because they're not bringing in too much money these days. And what they're bringing in is being drained away by friends and relatives and mm-hmm. what have you who need support, which is a good thing in a way. But, and so they're looking for, what's happening. And Fox News has a ready answer why it's those, fill in the blank. And trans is part of the hate slate.
Yeah. One thing that always comes to mind is actually it's from Fox News, but it's from The Simpsons. Homer Simpson's famous, I make it famous quote, is that the best way to feel better about yourself is to make somebody feel worse about themselves. And I think that is a tactic that they are employing full tilt. So,
transference of aggression, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so we are not alone, and there are those of us who are trying to push back with as much force as possible, and keep up the you're a good voice for us, and keep it up.
Thanks for that. Number to call 503-231-8187, and you're listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And Tim is on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Okay, good. Hey, I'm calling with a slightly different topic. Actually, who is going? I think they're sliding down the slippery slope of liberalism.
Sliding down the slippery slope of liberalism? Would be sliding to the left or sliding to the right?
To the
would you say that?
To the right.
To the right.
And the reason I'm saying, now, doesn't KBOO have a policy against broadcasting religious propaganda?
Well, let's see. Now, we have our mission statement, which I haven't memorized, but the idea is to promote... to give a place for underserved and unrepresented communities. So, if we put out a lot of religious propaganda, then we would be, falling down on that. But on the other hand, I would point out that we live in the United States in 2014, and most of the population is Christian, and some segment of that is fundamentalist Christian. And, of course, they're going to have their say, and we're not going to shut them up, right?
Well, there's hope someday we may evolve, but who knows? but anyways, wouldn't you agree that there's plenty of stations out there carrying religious broadcasting? Population circle and playing all this Jesus loves you, Jesus saves you music.
Well, because the black church community is not well represented on the airwaves.
Oh, come on. It's a church.
It's a church. It's Christian, but it's not a white fundy church. And
it's definitely not progressive.
You can get Catholic, you can get white fundies on several other frequencies, and I don't know where else you could get actual black gospel broadcasts, so I don't feel threatened by it.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for KBOO, because KBOO shouldn't be broadcasting any religious propaganda. There's plenty of religious crap, junk on the airways as it is, without us adding to it, when we could have a good progressive program promoting progressive values and information and stuff in its place.
Well, I have to admit that I have a knee-jerk response to anything religious, but I don't feel threatened by this, and I think maybe you shouldn't feel threatened by this. I mean,
well, I've been an organizer all my life, and when the enemy wants to infiltrate, they start off innocently with an innocent little thing, one by one, undermine it, gain their numbers so they can have a better vote.
Well, now we have had and try to push in a wedge, but I don't. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree with you on that, but I really appreciate you calling in. 503-231-8187. Time for one more call. Let's see who we got here. I'm getting the hold on just a moment sign, which is good because my computer screen just went blank. Not using the paper today. But fortunately, I'm not like Ronald Reagan, and I don't have to stop talking when the computer screen or the tele screen goes blank. But I do have to stop talking now because it sounds like it's 28 after and time to go on to the next program. So I invite you to stay tuned to more of the incredible Radio Zine on KBOO Portland. I'll be back next week, and all the ships at sea.
Hi, Love Jones here, DJ and producer for La Contessa de la Luna, late night host of The Confessional. I want to invite you to join her and a cast of tens to the Clinton Street Theater pre-Valentine's Day live show and extravaganza. She takes over the Clinton Street Theater for a live show featuring sing-alongs, talk like Christopher Walken contest, prizes, raffles, audience confessions, and a live performance by La Contessa de la Luna featuring the KBOO dancers. The live show is followed by the film Dogma, featuring George Carlin and Matt Damon. That's triple the entertainment for one ticket. And the radio station, KBOO. That's La Contessa and Friends live on stage Thursday, February 13th, starting at 7 p.m. Tickets on sale now at brownpapertickets.com. Just search for KBOO.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to A Deeper Look on KBOO this morning. I'm your host, Linda Olson Osterlund. Our topic today is Omar Khadr, the Canadian citizen who was captured in 2002 at age 15 after being severely wounded in a firefight in Afghanistan. He was held and tortured in the U.S. prison at Bagram Air Base, then locked in Guantanamo for the next 10 years, where his mistreatment continued. He became the first prisoner to be tried at a military commissions court at Guantanamo, and he was the first child in the world to be tried for war crimes in direct contravention of international law. He eventually accepted a plea agreement scripted by the prosecution, pleading guilty to killing an American soldier during the firefight. He was to serve another year in Guantanamo and then be transferred to Canada to serve out the rest of his 10-year sentence. If most of you, like me, you lost contact with this story at about that time. What happened to Omar Khadr? How quickly did he get back to Canada? To answer these questions, I've invited his long-term Edney, originally from Scotland. Dennis Edney is a very well-known human rights attorney in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And we're trying to get him on the line right now. I'll find out if we do in just a moment. Is that sometime in September of 2012, Omar Khadr was transferred to Canada. Canada, you know, for those of us who are used to coming up against and coming into conflict with the United States government and with U.S. imperialism, we tend to think that we're always the bad guys in these kinds of situations. And certainly the treatment of Omar Khadr lived up to that. However, Canada was not separate from all of that. They were very resistant. The government was resistant to bringing Omar back. And in fact, during the time that he was in Guantanamo, they sent their own intelligence officers to interrogate Omar. And during those, before those, like the frequent flyer program, which meant sleep deprivation, being moved from one location to another. In addition, he was held in solitary. There were many different difficult things that were done to him to soften him up for the interrogations. There is a video of one of his interrogations that you can watch if you do interrogation. I don't recommend it for anyone who has sensitive feelings because I watched it and I was in tears after 5 minutes and had to turn it off. You're basically seeing a teenage boy who being interrogated, not in a violent way at that time, but his emotions were so at the surface, it's very hard to watch. Well, it looks like we do have Dennis Edney with us on the line, so I want to welcome you, Dennis Edney.
Thank you very much.
I'm so glad to have you. You know, ever since they did the trial of, I won't even call it a trial, they did the kangaroo court, the military commissions court in Guantanamo, and Omar Khadr was forced to accept a plea agreement and sentenced to an additional 8 years in prison, I found that I began to lose touch with